From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nancy Lyons. The U.S. State Department is distancing itself from comments made today by a U.S. envoy who met with Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. Frank Wisner says Mubarak's continued leadership is crucial as the country heads into a transition to democracy. The State Department says it is appreciative of Wisner's willingness to travel to Egypt, but says his comments are his own and were not coordinated with the U.S. government. Well, changes are underway in Egypt's government. Mubarak's son Gamal and four other high-level members of the ruling party resigned on Saturday, but Mubarak did not. NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro is in Cairo and says diplomatic efforts are continuing to end the impasse.
There are many negotiations going on right now behind the scenes. We know the United States, the European Union, heavily involved in trying to see what the next step is. However, we do know that the Hosni Mubarak regime remains very entrenched, and Hosni Mubarak himself quite defiant. The prime minister came on air on state television and said that it was unlikely that the president would hand over his powers, even for a temporary period, to someone else, possibly his vice president, Omar Suleiman, because of technical reasons, because of reasons to do with the Constitution. That is unlikely to satisfy the tens of thousands of protesters here in Tahrir Square. They have made one demand the whole way through, which is Hosni Mubarak must step down before these protests stop.
NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro reporting from Cairo. Dissenters are not only making their feelings felt in Cairo. Hundreds of protesters gathered outside the Egyptian embassy in Washington today. Matt Laszlo reports it was the second weekend in a row that demonstrations were held outside the embassy.
After a week of watching intense clashes on TV, the Egyptian-American community came out en masse to show solidarity with their family and friends in Egypt. A Secret Service agent estimates more than 500 people joined the protest. Gamal Amer, like many in the crowd, says he's optimistic the protesters in Egypt will prevail and force President Hosni Mubarak to resign.
I've spoken to some of the friends in Tahrir Square, and they are staying. They're not leaving before their conditions be met.
The crowd participated in a moment of silence, and about 50 men kneeled in prayer on the cold, wet pavement before they marched to the White House. For NPR News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
The FBI and Secret Service are working to identify the hackers who've been tapping into the NASDAQ computers over the past year. The Wall Street Journal reported late Friday investigators do not believe the stock market computer system was compromised by the perpetrators. The paper is reporting that investigators are trying to determine a motive. A top General Motors executive says the automaker may add more dealerships on both coasts because of rising sales. GM North American President Mark Roy says the need appears to be the greatest in California. This is NPR News. The weather in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, where tomorrow's Super Bowl will be played, is looking more like Pittsburgh or Green Bay. A fresh blast of snow and ice canceled hundreds of flights yesterday, and more snow is in the forecast for tomorrow. Not that it really matters. The game between the Steelers and the Packers will be played indoors in Cowboy Stadium. The face-off on the field isn't the only clash of the Titans going on in Dallas this weekend. NPR's Pam Coulter reports the players and owners are battling over a new contract.
Representatives for the NFL and the Players Union met in Dallas for their first formal bargaining session in more than 2 months, and the pressure is on. The current collective bargaining agreement expires in early March, and if there's no deal by then, there's widespread expectations the owners will lock out players, throwing the nation's most popular and profitable sports league into labor turmoil. Two more bargaining sessions will be held in Dallas in coming days, giving the billionaire owners and millionaire players some time to find common ground on issues including an extended season, rookie pay, and benefits for retired players. Pam Coulter, NPR News.
The newest class of the Pro Football Hall of Fame includes seven people, six players, and the man who founded NFL Films, Ed Sable. The players include Deion Sanders, the cornerback and kick returner known as Primetime, along with Marshall Faulk, who won a Super Bowl with the Rams. Shannon Sharp, who held league records for a tight end in receptions, yards, and touchdowns when he retired. Richard Dent, Les Richter, and Chris Hamburger. Induction ceremonies will be held in Canton, Ohio on August 6th. I'm Nancy Lyons, NPR News.